the economy and the nations of the world against America. Someone asked me here recently, what about the word of the nations come from in Revelation 9? So let's read that. Where do these armies come from? Since there's an army of 200 million, that's a huge army. Okay. All right. So let's read it. Revelation 9. Let's pick it up here in verse 12. First woe is past. Behold, after these things, two more woes are still to come. Page 1234. And the sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. And it said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, loose the four angels who are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now that's right smack in the middle of a rock. Now we'll see another one in just a minute that talks about the kings of the east. So these armies are coming from the east. And as we will see, the north. These four angels are restrained until sometime after the 144,000, a great innumerable multitude, have already been sealed. Okay. Then the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were loosed so that they might kill a third of men. Now, that's an awful lot of slaughter going on, but let me just say something here that I think is quite important. Apparently, these angels are so evil, they're obviously satanic angels, and so powerful that God just bound them in the river Euphrates for this set period of time in history. Okay. And they are going to come in all fury and all power. They are going to give extra power to the armies of men. So it's going to be a combination of men, equipment, and four powerful angels. And the number of the armies of the horsemen was 200,000, 200 million. Now, you can't put an army of 200 million in one place. They have to be strung out all the way from the river Euphrates, going all the way back to China, Asia. And in Asia is the only place you're going to have enough people to have an army of 200 million, because you've got about 4.5 billion people in all of Asia, and you throw in Russia for good measure. Now let's back up a little bit and let's just come back, hold your place here, because we'll come back to Revelation. But let's go back to Daniel, the 11th chapter, and let's see the beginning of the fifth seal, so we can get everything in perspective. I jumped ahead a little bit, so let's fill in the gap so we will have it straight. Daniel, the 11th chapter. Daniel is in the writings, though he is a prophet, because he prophesied outside of Israel. Daniel 11 and page 864. Now here's the time of the end, verse 40. And at the time of the end, the king of the south shall push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, with horsemen, and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. Someone said to me, well, if they're horsemen, does that show that the armies were defeated somehow and they're coming back with horses? Well, God couldn't tell the prophets they're coming with tanks and planes and helicopters, because they wouldn't understand that. See? So horsemen, just consider those armies, all right? And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. So he comes out of Europe, down into Egypt, as we see here. He shall also enter into the glorious land, that's Palestine, called the Holy Land today, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, Edom, Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon, and he shall stretch his hand out also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. In other words, they will be allies and will not attack. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall alarm him, and he shall go out with great fury to destroy and utterly annihilate many. Now we'll look at, because the fifth seal is verse 44. Out of the east and out of the north. Well, if you are in Palestine, where does the east go? Clear back to Asia. Where does north go? Straight up to Russia. So I want you to think in terms that big. Russia, Siberia, China, Korea, North and South, Japan, Tibet, all of Southeast Asia, India, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Uzbekistan, any other stands that are there, Iran, Iraq, all of that. Just picture that on the map. Okay? That's what it's talking about. So he sees these armies gathering, and he sees what's happening because they are coming because God is going to draw them. See? So the fifth seal sounds. So let's come back here to Revelation 9. This is the fifth seal. Not seal, but fifth trumpet plague. All right? Beginning Revelation 9 and verse 1. Not the seal, but the trumpet. Revelation 9 and verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from heaven to the earth, and there was given to him the key of the bottomless abyss. And he opened the bottomless abyss, and there went up smoke from the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke from the pit. Then locusts came up on the earth from the smoke, and power was given to them, as scorpions of the earth have power. And it was said to them that they should not damage the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God in their foreheads. So this also shows that, yes, the 144,000 innumerable multitude were sealed. And it was given to them that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months, and the torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days men shall seek death, but will not find it. They will desire to die, but death will flee from them. And the appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for war, and their heads, on their heads were crowns like those of gold. Their faces were like the faces of men, and they had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like those of lions. They had breastplates like iron breastplates. The sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots drawn by many horses running to war. And they had tails like scorpions and stingers, and they were given power to injure the men with their tails for 5 months. And they had over them a king, the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but the name he has in Greek is Apollyon. So that's Satan. Now, what we have here, satanic powers come out and first of all empower the beast. Give him this super weapon. So he sees the armies being drawn by God. They're coming. They come to the river Euphrates, but they're not able to cross. So he goes to make fury north and east. And this is how he stops it. But it only lasts for 5 months. Okay. Now let's come to the book of Joel. Let's add a little bit more to this. The book of Joel, and that is in the prophets. We have Hosea and then Joel. Joel, the third chapter. So here's what's going to happen, and then we will read how financially it's going to happen. Because you can't have an army with all of these weapons unless you have some money, unless you have some wealth. So, I think you'll be surprised what's happening. The groundwork is already being laid right now. Russia, Siberia, Mongolia, North South Korea, China, Tibet, India, all the stands will all get together. As a matter of fact, they are already doing it, along with some other nations. Okay. Joel 3 and verse 9. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Well, they have to have an awful lot of peaceful production to do that first, right? They have to have a surplus of population to come up with an army of 200 million and to equip it. Never has that been done before. So this is going to be awesome. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Gather yourselves and come, all you nations, and gather yourselves together all around. Cause your mighty ones to come down there, O Lord. Let the nations be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Now that is from the valley of Hinnom running all the way up, clear out to the coast. Valley of Jehoshaphat. And there I will sit to judge all the nations all around. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, come down, for the press is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon shall be darkened, the stars shall withdraw its shining, and the Lord shall also roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So that's something. Let the weak say I'm strong. That's what's happening now. I've got an article here. I'm just going to summarize a lot of them rather than read from them. This is the American Empire is bankrupt. Now remember this, whenever a world empire goes down, which we're going down, there are going to be those who come in and pick up the pieces. Right now in the economic situation, they're doing everything they can to ease the pain of the dollar problem. We'll see the Chinese are really stuck. And we will see they also have their own greed involved in all of the notes that they're holding, and we'll see the solution that they have. But I want to draw your attention to this. In Monday's Financial Times, this is June 15th, it is called the Yekaterinburg Turning Point, De-dollarization and Ending of America's Financial Military Hegemony. Yekaterinburg, that's the name of the town, may well become not only the death place of the czars, but of the American Empire as well. And he writes, John Lancaster writes, of the American Empire, it is finished. This means the end of the dollar. It means China, Russia, India, Pakistan, Iran are forming official financial and military areas to get America out of Eurasia. That means out of Afghanistan and out of Pakistan and so forth. The balance of payments deficit is mainly military in nature. Half of America's discretionary spending is military. And the deficit ends up in the hands of foreign banks, central banks. They don't have any choice but to recycle the U.S. government debt. So they also formed, as another article has brought out, have you heard of this? The BRIC nations. Have you heard of the BRIC nations? Brazil, Russia, India, and China. All have been having meetings in this little town where the czars were executed. And they are trying to figure out a way to get out from underneath the dollar. They don't quite know how to do it. They can't dump it all at once, because if they do, it'll be just like if two men are sitting there and they're playing a game of chicken. And they have their pistols loaded, pointed at each other, and wondering who's the first one going to fire the shot. So they both fire at the same time, and they both die. And that's where China and Russia and all of these nations are at right now. They don't know how to get rid of us. So they're there trying to scheme. Okay? Now, here's a long, long article on this explaining it, okay? They are setting up the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which is the SCO, and it was in Ekaterinburg, Russia, and they had the presidents of China, Russia, top officials from the Six Nations Shanghai Cooperation Organization. The alliance is comprised of Russia, China, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, with observer status for Iran, India, Pakistan, and Mongolia. It will be joined on Tuesday by Brazil for trade discussions among the BRIC, B-R-I-C nations, Brazil, Russia, India, and China. And what they are doing is this. So I'll give you the website, www.globalresearch.ca, and then search for the article, De-dollarization, Dismantling the American Financial Military Empire. Okay. This is the beginning of laying the foundation for those nations of the North and the East. What did I just read to you? See? Yes. And it's amazing what they're going to do. What they are doing right now are working out trade agreements where they barter. So much oil for so many goods. So China now, other reports that I won't have time to go in, China is now using the U.S. Treasury notes that they have to increase their own financial ability while they squawk and complain against us because they have so many dollars. Now, here it is. You look at any United States bank, and what do they have as assets? U.S. Treasury certificates, right? And if they have Treasury certificates, this means they can use that as a cash asset, so they can use that to loan money on. And if they loan it at 10 to 1, this means if they have $1 million in U.S. Treasury certificates, they can loan out $10 million in loans. Well, here's China sitting with 1.6, 1.8 trillion in American debts. And they can't send it back to Washington, D.C. for collection. And they can't send it back to get gold. So here's what they're doing. They're using those for assets to set up a lending international bank that is backed by U.S. treasuries and gold. And they are loaning to countries around the world, especially in Africa, Southeast Asia, and probably will be in Pakistan and Afghanistan and all that sort of thing. And they are lending them the Chinese yuan backed by U.S. Treasury securities. See? They are recolonizing the British Empire. They're going into Zimbabwe, Kenya, Somalia, Darfur, Nigeria, and they're working with Nigeria on a barter deal. Rather than transacting all transactions in dollars, they're saying, okay, so many barrels of oil, and we'll send you so many manufactured goods, probably of clothes and shoes, and of course they need that in Nigeria. But what they don't use any of the native population for employment. They bring in workers from Southeast Asia because they're better workers, because they know that the Americans are stupid enough to send foreign aid in welfare to the Nigerians to take care of the native workers. So that's what they're doing. China also has a foothold in the Panama Canal with a port there in Brazil. So you wait and see. They're going to start taking over and using that money for their benefit so they can, because in order for them to come up with an army of 200 million with all of these nations combined and just put in their India and all of them that I've mentioned, and they are going to become very prosperous while we come down. So that's how it's going. Here's another article, American Capitalism Gone with a Whimper, and this is, you probably heard of it, from Pravda in Russia. And Pravda means the truth. And they are saying that America has gone down quicker than Russia did when it became the Soviet Union. Sneak preview at the future. Very interesting. The beginning of a new world monetary system. That's what the G20 is all about, and I've been saying that all along. Now, just this last week, our wonderful tax cheat, Bill Geithner, went before Congress for hearings to add more powers to the Federal Reserve to make it more like the central banks of the world. Why? Because the United States has been told, you shape up and you get your house in order, and we want a world monetary system where all the banks will work together. Remember the first thing that Bush did when it was evident that the United States was about to collapse financially? That was back in October 2008. What did he do? He called for a G20 summit, right? Because they were all saying, hey, if we have these dollars that are only worth the burn, we're going to come and get you. So he said, okay, let's have a World Bank. So what they have done, they have set up a situation where what they are going to do is look at how they can let the downfall of the U.S. and the dollar come with the least amount of problems. They held secret meetings hidden from the media to forge a radical overhaul of the world's monetary system. Attendees at the G20 meeting will strive to wipe out the world's debt ledgers clean, and they will strive to the real goal of G20, creation of a new financial order based upon drastically new units of currency or fiat money to help wipe the world's debt ledgers clean. And so that's why they're giving money to IMF. Again, using U.S. dollars to save the world financial condition. Because, tell you, they are so angry at the U.S. for all these debts, living beyond our means and printing money, that they would like to come in and slit all of our throats, every one of us. But they, if they did that, they would slit all of their throats, so they can't do that. So that's what this is for. Let me tell you some of the comments, and they also said, do not be surprised on how the new currencies are structured. We could ultimately be looking at $5,000 gold. That's an ounce of gold. He says, over the next few weeks, I recommend you keep your ears tuned to the media for phrases like new financial architecture, new monetary system, rules of the game, Brentwood 2, and other financial speak. Sneak preview at the future. French President Sarkozy recently declared, we must rethink the financial system from scratch as from Brentwood. It's time to change the rules of the game. Sneak preview of the future. British Prime Minister Brown touts a new financial order, describing this as a decisive decision for the world economy to adopt a new Brentwood. Sneak preview at the future. European Central Bank Council member Ewald Nowaty calls into question the centrality of the U.S. dollar and further states that the U.S., Europe, and Asia are developing tripolar global currency system to replace the current dollar-centric reserve structure with more centers of gravity. And all of that is financial speak to say we have got to lighten our load of dollars, and so when the dollar devaluation comes, we'll be able to live through it, because it's going to come. And if there is going to Russia said, Putin said, that excessive dependence on a single reserve currency is danger for the global economy. And the Chinese communist said, the world urgently needs to create a diversified currency and financial system, a fair and just financial order that is not dependent upon the U.S., etc., etc., etc. All of those things. And what they are going to lead to is this. The developing of all of those nations in that great landmass that is north and east. So keep your eyes on that. If the dollar is devalued, we could see prices double overnight. Double overnight. Now, there's also worry about Obama's terrible profligate spending. Trillions means nothing to him. And they're also worried about if we have a real banking crisis, is the U.S. government going to do what Argentina did? Remember what they did? They seized all savings and retirement accounts. Wiped everybody out. So, I don't know what's going to happen. But if Argentina had to do that, we're worse than Argentina ever was. So now you know why they're promoting the G20. They're trying to let the pain come in stages rather than all at once. Because if it happened all at once, the whole world would be thrown into complete anarchy. So if they can come up with a world financial system, and of course, ideally would be, come up with a single world currency where there would be no balance of payments problems. That's what they want to come up with. Well, there are other reports, but I don't have time to give those. It's just coming so fast and furious that it's almost incredible, the things that are happening. So watch your P's and Q's, watch your dollars, Don't let yourself be really vulnerable, because some of these things, you know, just like seizing GM happened overnight. And now they're saying, the rumor is out, no more SUVs out of General Motors and Chrysler. But we're going to give you little Fiat battery cars. See? All of this by a president run amok, by economy just terrible, by profligate politicians, profligate traders, profligate everything. We are so corrupt and so evil in the financial field as well as our general morals that it is almost beyond description. So don't think that, well, maybe it won't be quite that bad. Think maybe it might get worse. I had this sent to me here. The title is, Will You Survive the Coming Dark Age? Will your savings survive a bank wipeout? What will you do if there are food riots? What if the U.S. power grid fails? Can you survive without a doctor or a hospital? Talks about the stock market wipeout, bank closures, global epidemics, catastrophic terrorist attack, hyperinflation, scarce food and water, rogue nations, government surveillance. There you go. So we need to be alert. Now, the good news is, if it's not as bad as I've made out, that may be a plus. But the bad news is, if it's worse than I've made out, you better be ready. Whatever. So that brings you up the news on where we are in war and peace and economics. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.